Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Somebody turned on that yellow light up here, so I thought I'd come outside here. You know, times are changing. You got to start watching and seeing what's going on in the world. Things are happening before our very eyes sometimes. And you got these things here, you know, they're called fingers. And most of us got access to the internet. And so you could search all kinds of stuff. You could get millions of results or hundreds of thousands of results for so many things. And the more you search, the more you learn how to search, the more you can get into information that's available to you. Christians never had it so good in that the abundance of knowledge is at your fingertips. Some of us just think we don't need to know anything. We just have the Bible. We can just read the Bible, and that's fine. People, 2,000 years has passed since Jesus was here. Lots of things has changed. We're conditioned by our culture. We grow up. We go to school. We're taught all kinds of stuff. Then as we're older, you know, us that are up there getting to be called grandpas and great-grandpas and everything, we remember back when we were taught all kinds of stuff in school. And then over the decades, we see that they discover things so that which they taught us about sociology, about history, about science, is all changed. It's different. It's not the same. And they're always saying we got to rewrite the history books, but that's not even the half of it. Those of us that search history learn lots of stuff hasn't been the way that we've been taught. And so, as Christians, do you want to just read the Bible and then interpret it according to what you've been taught? You know? The definitions that you've done? There's word evolution. 2,000 years, words don't remain the same. New slang develops. New total meanings, the same words. You have, even in the Strong's Concordance, we have a change taking place, or has been taking place, over the decades. It used to be, you can go over there, and you got one or two meanings of what it meant back in 2,000 years ago. In the 90s, all of a sudden you can get an additional meaning. You used to have meaning one, and then meaning two. Now we've got meaning three and meaning four on it. Did translators get more smart? I mean, didn't words meant something? And the only way that words can change is that over time, the word evolves, because you know what we do? We invent words. We take words that exist and make them different things. Like the word gay. It meant all kinds of things. Some people just still want to hold on to what gay meant in the 20s and 30s. And now, for a long period of time, it meant homosexuals. But now, in the last decade, in the last 5 years or so, this is changing, and it's meaning something totally different to the youth today. I mean, words evolve. And so you can't pick up the Bible and read the Bible and say, this is what it means. You can't say the Holy Spirit is revealing it to you. You can't do any of these. And you can't say God said it or Jesus is with you, so this way somehow or another magically you understand what you're reading. I'm sorry. When you read something, yes, the Holy Spirit will reveal things and all kinds of stuff like that. You still have these advantages to being a Christian. But if your brain only knows what it's been taught and conditioned, then when you read something, you're already predisposed to what it means. You know what's the latest trend in documentaries? You know, in school and everything, we learn that the Romans fought this and that and the other war. And they grow to be a great empire. And then other nations grew up, and they got stronger and whittled it away, you know. And there's corruption from within and so forth, until finally the Roman Empire was no more. until, of course, recent times, as the old Roman Empire, those countries are kind of getting back together. But what they're finding out, because they're able to read, you know, fingertips, they can look at everybody's information, and then they can pinpoint where they want to go and look. They find new discoveries and everything. Now they find out, you know, you got amazing machines for construction and various other things. This was never even told us, taught us, or even known about in the days we were going to school as old folk here. But now, you can flip on the TV. You're not going to go to school. The kids aren't being taught that the Romans had this kind of technology to build these kind of buildings, and these are the machinery that they used. They just said they built it, basically. But now we could get details, and they animate it. They put actors in there, and they build it themselves, and they show you what it looks like with computer animation. It looks like you're there. And so you could see that when they build these buildings, some of their equipment is hardly different than from today's equipment. Their knowledge was pretty good. But we didn't know that. Today we know that. How do you know things about the Bible? Does your pastor tell you? Does he get updates on the things that he learns? You gotta figure out a few things, you know. You are responsible. Do you know that? You are responsible for maintaining your faith. Your pastor is not. He's a shepherd. He's doing the best he can, perhaps, and he's got lots of problems. And he passes on these problems to you. And if you don't take account of yourself, then you're going to fall into the trap of believing things that are just simply not true. Because you like it, because it sounds good, because your pastor said it, because when you read it and you define it according to your knowledge of words, you come up with something that may not be true at all. It doesn't matter if you don't like to study. What matters is you can't be going out and pointing things out to people and preaching a message that isn't based on a legitimate fact. Jesus is truth, you know? So if he is truth, he could bear witness to exhaustive research. Now, sometimes the technology is such, and our understanding of things, we just can't quite get in there. And so, you know, the world's flat, and we're going to fall off the edge. And we just, you know, how can this be when we're reading the Bible? We can't seem to be able to prove. Well, now time has gone by, and we can find out, no, the world isn't flat. And we go around the sun, not the sun goes around us. You know, that yellow light up there in the sky today, somebody turned on, is the center of our little solar system. We're not the center. We just go around it. But for long periods of time, what can you do? Because this is what they were conditioned. You're conditioned, thing. You're conditioned that gay is sin. Did you know that? And this began about 700 years ago. 720, 730 years ago, a few powerful Catholic leaders decided they don't like certain people in power, and how can they devise a plan that they can get rid of this person and maybe put their person that has their ideals into office? And they scoured the Bible to see what kind of process would work the best. And, getting the Bible to condemn a certain group of people. And they decided, hey, you know, why don't we do this thing on gay? Make gay sin. There's a few verses we can use that pretty much sounds like male-to-male sex in a negative way. And we could probably just manage to make this work. And so, guess what? They found about 11, 12 verses, and develop a story behind them, and began to point fingers, creating scandal, and actually got people removed from power because of the scandals they created, and they actually got their people based that had the fundamental foundation of believing their ideals. Now, over time, this backfired, and these groups actually had their opposition point fingers at them on the same challenge to create scandal, and that then wasn't too beneficial to those that created this. And then ever since, we able to have all the scandals in the world concerning gays and all that kind of stuff. It took about 100 years before the Protestants decided under the circumstances, because the Catholic Church was so powerful and on and people hearing this over and over again, finally began to accept this doctrine of gay is sin. But how are you going to know that? You were born. And now here it is, 2007. What are you hearing? Well, if you were born a long time ago in the 40s, 50s, 60s, you got this fundamental background of heavy conditioning that gay is sin. It's really hard to get out of that. The church is just not trying to get out of it at all. There's a lot of people that are getting out of that because there are secular activities going on to bring out facts that it is actually modifying the conditioning that people have based on something called truth, something called fact, which it seems like a lot of you just don't like. If it's the truth, but it's the way you like it, then you love it. But if it's the truth, but you hate it, then you hate the truth. Now, Christians are a stubborn lot, and well, they should be, because, you know, any other god is a false god. So we're in a predicament today when it's politically incorrect to say anything negative about any other religions and everything. I mean, in work, we can't do anything. I mean, we can't stand up in our faith and say there is no other God, and all the other gods are false gods. You can't just go to work and say that. You get fired. And so there's a lot of things that Christians have a dilemma about today, if they dare speak up what they believe. And so, you got lots of problems with this gay issue about studying the Bible and history, because if you act like you're trying to find this out, and if you act like you got questions, what about this verse? It sounds like gang rape. So how could it mean gays? Because gays don't do that. Gays basically are two people falling in love, just like straight people. Two people falling in love and living together. You know? So some of you are trying to figure this out. But if you dare be openly trying to figure it out, you got to do it in the closet. You got to type secretly on your computer and search where nobody knows. But if you went and talked and discussed it with other people at your church, then they're going to probably call you gay. Right? Because you don't dare be positive towards gays. How are you going to ever get to the truth if you already got a conditioning factor built into you that you're not even going to look at it? Do you think that we got this conditioning, don't study the other gods. Don't learn the ways of Satan. And you've got this misconception of what this verse means. You think that if you even think about it or read a line, then all of a sudden you're going to become this and you're in total disobedience to God. People, you're supposed to know what your enemy is going to do to you, so you can figure out what it is that you're going to do. And if the enemy's going to deceive you, then if you found out that they're going to deceive you, and then when they begin to deceive you, you know it's a deception and you don't have to accept it. You know, Antichrist is going to look so much like you. We're taught this ugliness. We like to say, oh, he's Prince Charming or something. We get this kind of concept that at first he's going to be a really nice guy. He'd probably be really handsome. He'd probably be really, you know, every kind of manner of, you know, why could people accept him? It's good. We can say this, but we don't seem to get the conception of it. Because people, there's a plan. Satan's got a goal. He wants to mess with your mind. And if you're already thinking you know it, and then he begins to mess with your mind, you ain't going to be ready. Because somehow or another, you're going to see that this man that we call Antichrist, that is just not seeming to be like Antichrist should be. I mean, he's got too many Jesus qualities. He is giving you things that looks too true, too factual. He's showing you science. He's bringing out ancient writings and so forth. I just simply don't know how to explain it to you that something's going to become apparent to you that's going to actually make you think Antichrist could after all be Jesus. Now you're not going to be thinking, well, he's Antichrist, and then decide that this guy who you're thinking is Antichrist might be Jesus. No. You're going to think all of a sudden there's this person that manifests himself in certain types of ways that seems to correspond to what you believe. You know, counterfeiters try to make it look real. They don't want you to figure it out. They want you to take what they give you. They want you to accept the fake, the fraud. That's what the deception is. The real like fake. And so, it's so easy for us to think it ain't going to happen to us. The United States is never ever going to have a whole bunch of military coming in and knocking on our doors or crashing down our doors. It just won't happen. But you see, they got a plan. It's all well documented. They got people trained. They got the military might and the muscle. They got the troops here, not our troops. People, how can a foreign army invade the United States? Hey, we accepted the horse, the gift, you know, the Trojan horse. What an appropriate name for the viruses, Trojans. They can sneak in and they got you. You got to spend a lot of time getting them out. And we let them in. We invited them in. They're here. They're friendly people. They're nice. They hate our guts, but you would never know it. They know what they're going to do. And the time is going to come when they're going to do it, which you think is impossible. They're going to come up to your door. Maybe they'll just knock. Hi, how are you? Will you come with us? They might just simply, you know, they have devices. They could just punch your door in. No neighbors can hear. Walk right into it. They are in bed sleeping away. And you wake up and there be guns or something pointed at you. What are you going to do? I always like to say, do you think Dufour was bad? Well, if you know the things about Dufour, consider it like going to Disneyland. That's what's going to happen in the United States of America. They got places set up already. You can drive around and see them if you do this kind of thing and you want to spend the time to go look. Because you got lots of situations involved here when you're doing study. You could just believe what you read. You could read a lot of different kinds of reports to see if how many of them are confirming each other. You can find certain kinds of things that you know to be true because you can search these. Or you can literally spend the time and go to the places that they're telling you exist. because they give you the location. And you can go there to see if they exist. They exist. Where they're going, they're called re-education slave labor camps. And they got like 40 million or so on this list. And they got it color-coded and everything. You got your little weaker Christians, they like to call the yellow list. And you got the blue list, which really is just about as bad as the red list, because the blue list kind of believes what the red list does. And the red list sort of is the people that are out there trying to warn you and such and such. And the red and blue list, they pretty much figure he ain't going to go along with the plan. And so there's got two choices. Yeah, yeah. Or use your slave labor, experimentation, and various other kinds of plans. Just sock you away someplace. For the yellow listed people, which is the vast majority of Christians, probably can be made to accept, be re-educated, as it were, or not going to be a great big problem. This stuff is ready to happen. And people, it's going to happen. There's a plan. We always like to say Antichrist kingdom. Is this magic? Do we got a lot of spirits which you can't prove? Demons working out in a funny thing? You know, you have these psychics and everything, and somehow some, you know, one way it used to be described that there's all the demons sitting out on the teletype machine, and then the psychic receives all this kind of stuff and then tells everybody, and a lot of the stuff sort of comes right, or you can make it seem like it came true. That's not how Antichrist came. New Ageism, you know, we had this kind of all things, a bunch of these psychic crazy people looking for astronomical kinds of things, the magical things that are going to happen by gurus on the other side, masters on or some, you know, that, you know, that's kind of phony, like kind of. That's not what's really about what New Ageism is. And these things are happening today, and you can find out about them. The problem is you're not, or you're just saying, yeah, they're there. But you don't seem to know the seriousness of it. It's going to involve you. Did you know that? It's going to involve you. All of this 5,000 years since Noah, effort of Antichrist, of Satan rather, and all of his people, usually I sum them up, call them Masons, because when you search it all out and the claims of their roots and everything, you can say they started back there when Noah walked out of the boat and one of his sons got messed up and basically hated God, if it were. They're brainy, man. They have photographic memory. They're still so new in the evolution of time that they're still perfect enough that, hey, they knew everything that happened that 1,000 years before. Pretty easy to know where things are and do, and they kept the secrets all these times and the plans and the goals to reestablish those days. People, do your study, do your homework. And those of you that don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God and that God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and read the King James Bible, because as I said, Satan is a counterfeit, and one of the things he counterfeits is everything God. The Bible was choice, prime target, probably one of the first things to counterfeit. All modern versions are Satan counterfeits. Look up Westcott and Hort. See you next week.